Do not become familiar with His presence. Familiarity, as many of you know, is that, and I don't want to really get into this because of time and there's other stuff that I want to touch on, obviously. But it's important for you to remember. Paul said that I will bring you into remembrance. It is important that you remember. Familiarity will cut you off from being able to receive any further impartation. Meaning that activation cannot and will not take place once you have stepped into a dimension of where you've become familiar. Are you guys with me? Once you have, and the problem with familiarity is that once you have entered into it, you don't know it. Normally until it's too late. It's very difficult to get out of a place once you have become familiar. So it's best you protect yourself and get into place certain systems that will prevent you from becoming familiar. How do I do that? By ensuring that I always stay humble. It is by your words that you speak. It is by your reaction and by your response. Meaning that even if I do not feel like it, you listen, when it comes to spiritual matters, you cannot determine anything by how you feel. Your feeling in the spiritual dimension means absolutely nothing. That I can tell you on this morning. When it comes to spiritual matters, you have to go by what you know. And therefore, many people fail when it comes to spiritual matters because they lack spiritual knowledge. And therefore, they do not have spiritual perception. And it's very important because the spiritual dimension, you have to go by what you know. Can I have an amen to that? Amen. Don't become familiar. Trust me. I'm saying this because we love you. Amen. And so I would also like to extend a very warm welcome. It's my first time in a very long time that I'm on the broadcast service. It is awesome to be back on though. And welcome to all those connecting with us over live stream. I know without any reason of doubt that you're about to be blessed by the service, by the message, by the word in this morning. Listen, I can guarantee you that this is a message worth hearing and something that you cannot afford to miss. And therefore, I want you to tag as many people as possible. Share this broadcast with your family, with your friends. This might just save someone's life. Listen, there's a dimension that you can walk in as a believer where the presence of God is so tangible around you. I'm speaking about a sphere. It is a radius of His presence that surrounds you from every side, where His manifest presence is so tangible in an atmosphere that when you walk in, those around you will say that, listen, what is this that I feel? There is a sudden change in my heart. I feel a sudden hunger in on the inside of me. I can't explain it, but I want what is upon your life. It is a dimension where you now carry the anointing. But it's more than just carrying the anointing. You now have become anointed. You have been changed into another man. And it is not a place that you just visit every now and again. And then now I'm in the natural and now I'm in the spiritual. Now I'm in the natural, now I'm in the spiritual. Now I'm in the natural and now I'm in the spiritual. No, it is where you've been changed. You have been transformed into another man. And you've become anointed. The natural have now faded away. And you operate from a kingdom perspective where the natural in fact no longer even makes any sense anymore. I don't know if someone is hearing in this morning. And then that which is upon your life rubs off. It brings deliverance. It brings healing. It gives hope. Man, it gives peace, comfort, and rest. It is a place where you continually reflect the character, the likeness, and the image of our eternal Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, if you want to generate kingdom results, you will have to operate like Jesus operated. Is someone hearing me? I love the anointing, as you can see. When it comes to the topic of anointing, so yeah, please share this broadcast with as many people as possible. I'm still busy just opening up. It might just save someone's life. As we're going to speak on the cost, the price of the anointing this morning. And this is part 3 of the series. If you have missed part 1 and 2, I want to encourage you to get all of it. It is available on our Encounter Now app. Details on the screen. And please go get all of it. You know, for me, it's such an honor and a privilege, such a blessing. Sunday mornings to be in prophet services. I just love it. Every moment with him is jaw-dropping moments. You know, I love it how he will, and I know the notes because, you know, we work on it together. But I love it how he will open up with a statement, and then the Holy Spirit steps in, and he will preach for 3 hours on just one statement that he's made. The notes come and now go. God is now in control, and, you know, it always, listen, there's a reason why I'm making mention of this. And I just love it. I will always sit there and say, wow. Come on, listen, that have never changed. I've just spoken on familiarity. Are you guys with me? It's just absolutely amazing and such an honor and a privilege. And the reason for me saying is because last week's Sunday morning's message was life-changing. Now listen, I know the word. I encounter the word daily. But I can tell you that what came out last week's Sunday morning was pure revelation straight out of heaven. And I want to encourage you, go get a hold of it. I guarantee you that it will change your life. The only thing that creates lasting change is revelation. That will change you, and the change will be lasting. Are you guys with me? When something flows straight out of heaven, it is lasting effects. Amen? Go get a hold of it. It will change your life. Listen, the anointing, obviously. And when we speak about the anointing and the anointed, it is one of those topics that is of the utmost importance for us to understand as believers. It is a topic that I can tell you I love so much. It is a topic that is very close to my heart. As I understand the cost of carrying the anointing. Are you guys with me? I understand the cost of carrying the anointing. Listen, what is the anointing? The anointing is a tangible, a transferable substance that is of heaven. The anointing is the manifest presence and supernatural power of God in your life. The anointing is many things. The anointing is the presence of the Holy Spirit that comes and rests upon you. The anointing is the presence of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. In other words, the anointing is there for many reasons. It is there to cause things on the inside of you to fall off. Those unwanted things, those heart issues. The anointing is a necessity for you to help you deal with issues of your heart. And in your life, it is there to cause things to fall off. And then secondly, the anointing is there to enable you to fulfill your God-given call and purpose with perfection, with excellence, and with distinction. Without the anointing, I can guarantee that you will not be able to fulfill your God-given call and purpose. Are you guys with me? Amen. Listen, the anointing is a burden-removing, yoke-destroying, supernatural power of God. It is the anointing that will make you effective and efficient in all spiritual matters. If I ask you this morning, how many of you can say that I want to be an efficient and effective partaker of the activities of the kingdom of heaven? Come on, raise your hands if that is you. You will need the anointing. I can guarantee you that you will need the anointing. It is an absolute necessity. Listen, the Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, and this is King James. Luke chapter 4, one of my most favorite chapters, passages of scripture in the Bible. And this is Jesus Christ speaking, and he's saying that, listen, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's making a declaration here that echoes through eternity. You need to understand that when you open your mouth and the anointing is upon you, that something is about to change the moment that you speak. And so he's saying that, listen, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Say, the Spirit of the Lord. Come on, say it like you believe it. Say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. 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 He has anointed me. He has anointed me. He has anointed me. Listen, you say this thing until it pierces through the atmosphere and you see something shift and change in your life. He has anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Say the mandate of the anointing. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jesus Christ and anointed him for this very specific reason. The mandate of the anointing upon the life of Jesus Christ, meaning the purpose of the anointing that came upon him, the reason the anointing came upon him was for this very reason. Are you guys with me? It was to bring healing. It was to give deliverance. It was to bring restoration. Listen, he came to give comfort, rest, and peace. It was to come and give hope. That is why the anointing came upon him. These are known as the activities of the kingdom of heaven. What are the activities of the kingdom of heaven? To preach the gospel to the poor. To preach deliverance to the captives. To heal the brokenhearted. These are the activities of the kingdom of heaven. To bring recovering of sight to the blind. This does not mean that we're speaking about natural blindness being healed. It speaks of spiritual sight being restored. Are you guys with me? To set at liberty them who are bruised. To bring liberation to those who have lost hope. You carry the answer. It is locked up on the inside of you. The moment you receive the Holy Spirit, you received heaven's ability. That is what the anointing is. It is the ability of heaven invested into a human vessel that now gives that human vessel divine ability and authority to fulfill their God-given call and purpose while they live on here on this earth. It is the ability of heaven invested on the inside of you. Are you guys with me? I'm telling you this morning that you will need the anointing to successfully become a partaker of the activities of the kingdom of heaven. What are the activities of the kingdom of heaven? He said, go into all the world and preach my gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. These signs, they will cast out demons and they will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will recover. They will be healed. They will be restored. These are the activities of the kingdom of heaven. If you want to be efficient and effective in these activities, you will need the anointing. You will need to become anointed. Are you guys with me? Now, the anointing is also known as the costly oil from heaven. You see, many want the anointing, but they're not willing to pay the price. But I can tell you this morning that the anointing will cost you everything. It will cost you everything. But it is well worth the cost. It is well worth the price. Are you guys with me? It does not come cheap. And so rather my question in this morning is, have you count the cost? If I ask you this morning, how many of you wants to become carriers of the anointing? How many of you wants to be anointed? Come on now. Come on. Come on. Come on. I just told you what you need the anointing for. My question is, have you count the cost? And are you willing to pay the price? Before you so quickly answer that question, go think about it. Have you count this cost and are you willing to pay the price? It does not come cheap. It will cost you everything. But I can tell you that it's well worth it. It is so worth it. You see, the Bible says that many are called but few are chosen. Meaning that many start off strong, full of zeal and passion and desire and a hunger until the pressure is on. And you're being crushed. And you're being molded and shaped. And once you have stepped into that process, it is not easy. And that is where many jump ship and say, this is too much. It is too difficult. I cannot take it anymore. It is not worth it. Have you count the cost? And are you willing to pay the price? Amen. Listen, what is the price? The price of loneliness. The price of peer pressure and difficult circumstances. It is the price of physical and mental fatigue. It is the price of self-denial, where you will have to continually deny yourself, continually crucify the nature of your flesh and put to death that natural man. It is the price of continually seeking the face of God, continually laboring in the Word, continually laboring in prayer, just to have that next encounter with Him, just to get closer to Him, just to become a carrier of the anointing, so that I know that when I step out of my prayer closet, that when I step out, that He will be glorified, that everything about my life will reflect Him and nothing but Him, that I will carry the anointing with honor, that I will represent the kingdom of God with honor, that I know that when I step out of this place where there's been sacrifice of the sacrifice, paying the price upon paying the price, that I know that when I leave, I can carry the kingdom of God with honor. It is well worth it. See, there's only a few sitting here and listening to me right now. Those standing can relate to what I'm saying. Because only a few are paying the price. It is paying the price of seeking God's face day in and day out when others are having fun and even sleeping. Yet you are on your knees interceding, you're praying, you're fighting, you're seeking the face of God. Because you understand that this thing comes at a cost. There's a price tag to it. I hope someone is hearing me. Are you guys with me? I can tell you this. That those who are truly anointed has paid the price time and time again, over and over and over. The more effective and efficient you want to become in the kingdom of God with kingdom matters, the greater the price. The greater the price will be. Are you guys with me? If you are willing to accept the challenge of becoming an anointed leader that will influence, affect, and make an impact on this generation, know that it will cost you something. There's a high price to pay for it, because anointed leaders will endure many trials, challenges, and difficulties. But I want you to know this, that every challenge that you face, every difficult situation that you go through, every trial that you are going through, know that it's to mold you, it is to shape you for something greater that is to come. And that if you can endure these things and get through it, it is known as a crushing process. Prophet spoke on it last week when he said that listen, an olive must be crushed for the oil on the inside to come out. The Bible speaks of a woman that was recorded in Scripture. She brought in an alabaster box full of perfume. It was expensive oil on the inside. And she broke it and washed his feet with her hair. Are you guys with me? Your outer vessel must become broken so that what is on the inside can start to flow out. It will cost you something. Now, Jesus gives an in-detail explanation of what I've just said in the book of Matthew. You can put this on the screen for me. Matthew chapter 20, New King James. Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. And I'll be going up until verse 28. And it says, "But Jesus called them to himself and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them.'" Verse 26. "Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him become your servant." Verse 27. "And whoever desires to be the first among you, let him be your slave." Verse 28. "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Now the word great just speaks of someone who wants to be in front of something. It speaks more specifically of an anointed leader who wants to lead others. Now, please understand, I'm not meaning this in a bad sense at all. But it speaks about an anointed leader who wants to lead someone. Are you guys with me? But now, Jesus continues and he says something profound. And he says, but listen, for those of you who desire to be great, let him become your servants. Let him become your servant. But now when you read this, don't go there. But when you read this in the King James, the word servant there, the King James uses the word minister. And this is where we get the Greek word diakono from. Are you guys with me? And it speaks of a servant who is willing to supply the needs of others continually. Those who are willing to supply the needs of others continually. And then even after this, he continues to say that, listen, for those of you who wants to be first, let that one become your slave. Let him become your slave. What Jesus is saying here is that, listen, whoever wants to be a leader with authority, he must first become a servant to all. Are you guys with me? The King James again changes the word slave to servants. Amen. And obviously the word servant in the Greek is the word doulos, which means to be a constant slave to others. Everything in this kingdom is upside down. If you want to go up, you must first go down. What do I mean by that? If you want to reach greater heights spiritually, you will need to get down on your knees and intercede and sacrifice and pray like never before. The way up is down. Are you guys with me? You need to give to receive. Everything in this kingdom is upside down. I can tell you that. If you want to be the first become the last. If you want to be the greatest, first become the least. And this will be a great, listen, the key that I'm giving you right now will cause the anointing to come and rest upon you. You will become anointed if you can learn to develop a Christ-like attitude where you come like He came to serve those around you. If you're sitting here this morning, you can tell me, Pastor Martin, my heart is to serve the body of Christ. Then I'm telling you, you're in the right place. And you are positioned in the right location where the anointing can come and rest upon you. Jesus came into this world to serve and not to be served. And that aligned him for the anointing to come upon him. If you can develop a servant's mentality, honor will not be a problem. Prophet once told me these words right in the beginning, and it's one of those words that I've bound and tied to my heart. When he said, Martin, see everything as a test. See everything as a test. It will change your mind shift when you go through certain things, saying, this is a test. And I'm not willing to fail this test. God, show me, why am I going through what I'm going through? Instead of falling into a pit of depression and self-pity, feeling sorry for yourself, when you go through these trials, when you go through these difficult circumstances, rather get closer to Him and use the opportunity to say, my God, what is it? What is it that you want to teach me? What is it that you want to show me through this? What must I get out of this situation? Because I know that you are busy working here. You are busy preparing me for something greater that is to come. My Lord, I don't want to miss this season. I don't want to short circuit it. But I want to get everything out of this season that it is that I need to successfully accomplish what is to come. Show me. My God, show me what is it. What is it? Don't expect an answer during that season because a teacher is always quiet during an exam. But the fact that you are seeking His face will get you into a position where you will get through it. The anointing will be necessary at that stage when His voice is quiet. It is the anointing that will then carry you through. Are you guys with me? Say the anointing. Now listen, what is the lesson that Jesus is teaching His disciples here? He's saying that whoever wants to be a leader must carry a special anointing. If you want to be an anointed leader, it requires a special anointing to come upon your life. But to gain that special anointing, and I'm going to tell you something from the word God, you gain this. You must first become a servant to all. The moment you have become a servant to all, that is when you're being positioned and aligned for this great anointing. The special anointing to come upon your life where you will not start to change those around you. Are you guys with me? Listen, the anointing is not for self-gratification, but to supply the needs of the body of Christ. God will not give this special anointing to anyone. He will not give it to those who do not have a servant's heart. He will not give it to those who says that, you know what, the kingdom of God is not really important to me. Those who are uninterested in kingdom matters, you will not have it. Those who are not willing to pay the high price, I guarantee you the special anointing will not and cannot come upon your life. Are you guys with me? Amen. Here we've got Peter. He just denied Jesus Christ 3 times. You can imagine the condemnation that this man had to carry. Jesus being crucified, they think it's all over. Although he said to them many times, wait, because I will be on the 3rd day. You will see me stand up and I will overcome death and I will come again. Yet they thought, it's done. He's dead. Until he appeared. And his presence immediately destroyed all condemnation. And he asked Peter 3 questions. He said, Peter, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know that I love you. And he says, then feed my sheep. And then he asked him a 2nd question. Peter, do you love me? Lord, but you know that I love you. Tend to my sheep, Peter. And again a 3rd time, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. Then feed my sheep. When you become a servant to all, and the body of Christ becomes your first priority in life, you are in line for this anointing to come upon you. For Peter, you shall become my rock, and upon this rock shall I build my church. Are you guys with me? He speaks there, do you love me? It's a very specific love that he's sharing with Peter, and he wants him to get something. Listen, Peter, the love that I'm speaking about is not the type of friendship that we have, that type of love. It's not that. The love that I'm speaking about, Peter, you need to understand this is a love that is sacrificial. Where you're saying that when you say that you love me, that you are willing to give your life for this cause. Because change can only take place to the level that you surrender for that change to take place. Amen. So what price, let's get into this. I haven't even started. What price must anointed leaders pay to be used by God? Death to self. Say death to self. And I might only, because of time, only touch on this one thing. Say death to self. This is the predominant, most important factor, and I need you. If you've not heard anything up until now, I think those connecting online, like Pastor Chris said, responding greater. If you have heard anything, or have not heard anything, listen to me now. Amen. Say death to self. It speaks about death of your ego. This will require great surrender. It will require sacrifice and self-denial continually. Are you guys with me? That is the first thing. That's the price that you will pay. The 2nd thing is you will face a lot of rejection. The 3rd thing is you will face a lot of criticism. The 4th thing is you will be very lonely. Number 5, the pressure of making proper decisions. This is the price to become an anointed leader. Number 6, you will go through and face a lot of mental and physical fatigue. The price that you will pay to become an anointed leader. Are you guys with me? Say death of ego. Say death to self. Listen, do you know that where death ends, that is where resurrection starts? I'm going to say that again, that where death ends, that is where resurrection starts. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 3 to verse 5, New King James, and it says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Come on, how many of you sitting here in this morning and looking at me right now can say that I have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and eternal Savior of my life? That means at that moment, there's a special baptism that have taken place where you've been baptized into his death. Then it continues to say that like as Christ, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory, I'm going to say that again, by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, how many of you have accepted Jesus Christ of sight? Come on. I'm giving you a principle here. I want you to understand the position that you're standing in. A place where you operate from without. Are you guys getting this? For if we have been planted in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And so the seed for resurrection is death. A seed must first die so that the new life that is locked up on the inside of it can now emerge and now can come out. What I'm telling you is that the new man that shall be, you can even now while walking here on this earth, you can already tap into that glorified state, into that new man, and operate accordingly even while you're walking here on this earth. Those who are willing to sacrifice, those who are willing to contend for greater dimensions, will find this anointing come upon them. We will operate as the new man that will yet be. That man, the new man, has got unlimited capabilities, unknown, of which many are unknown at this stage. Which means that when you've tapped into that dimension, you start to operate out of that man, even while in this physical, you will walk in unlimited possibilities. Infinite possibilities now becomes your dimension. See, only a few people will hear this and really listen and take it, because they think it's far-fetched. Don't think because you have not experienced it, it is not possible. I can tell you many stories. Are you guys with me? Listen, say death to self. Death to self is the doorway to the very thing that many believers are looking for, and that is the anointing. Amen? God cannot use someone that is still governed by their flesh. Very simple. He can only use that one that is surrendered to him. And I'm speaking like Pastor Chris said this morning, utter and complete surrenderance. And those who are led by his Spirit, those are the ones that he can use. He cannot use you if you are still governed by the flesh. Are you guys with me? Which means that the more that you yield to the constant and continual leading, the guidance and the help of the counsel of the Holy Spirit, the more that you die to self, the more you crucify that natural man, the more you will give God access to manifest his impossible possibilities through your life. What you think to be impossible is not impossible. That I can tell you this morning. You guys with me? It will give God the space to manifest unlimited possibilities through your life. You see, this is the thing. Many times we see anointed leaders, men and women of God, operating in the supernatural power of God. And we say, oh, I want that. It looks beautiful. I want that. I want to prophesy like that. I want to heal the sick like that. And that's good to have those desires. It means that there's a hunger. I'm not saying that there's nothing wrong with that. Are you guys with me? But unfortunately, the majority of the times, or many times, we want all of this for the wrong reasons. And I can guarantee you, how do I determine whether it's the wrong reason? It's very easy. I can guarantee that if you are still governed by your flesh, if you have not yet died to yourself, if you have not yet crucified that natural man, I guarantee it will be for the wrong reason. The question is this: is it for your glory or for God's glory? The very first time when I heard Prophet preach, I'll never forget it. The very first time that I met him, very first time that you all know my testimony, when I stepped into his house and he's busy preaching, my mouth is just open. I'm sitting there thinking, my dear God, I'm being introduced by someone's message that's not even speaking about Jesus. Yet I'm being, through his words, I'm sitting here, but I'm being introduced to the living God. And I thought to myself, where have I been all the time? How could I have been so blinded? For the first time, I understand being just carnally saved, I mean, fresh out of the world. Yet I could understand spiritual matters because of someone speaking by an anointing. And I remember that I sat there and I said to my heart, my God, if I can only preach like that. You didn't listen, hear me now. I just came out of the world, just saved, not even yet saved. Yet at that moment, I could hear his voice because of someone else that carried the fire and the presence of the Holy Spirit. A dimension was opened up. When there is sacrifice in an atmosphere, listen, when I stepped into that house, being unsaved as they come, I could sense that in this place there is sacrifice. There's time spent in the Word. There is time spent in prayer. Here is an atmosphere. I could smell fasting in that place. I'm speaking spiritually. Are you guys hearing me? And a shift took place in my heart. When prophet wasn't even in the room. He was still in the back rooms busy preparing. But when I stepped into that atmosphere, that's what I'm, when I opened up the service, my heart was changed. A fire was kindled on the inside of me. It is like the Holy Spirit came in a moment, in a suddenly, and fanned this flame, breathed upon me, and suddenly everything just made sense. And I said, my God, if I can only preach like that. The very thing that God asked me, one thing, one word, He said, why? I'm like, did I just hear that? You need to understand, I just came out of the world. Yet I'm hearing God's voice for the first time. And He's saying that, why? I'm like, and I feel His presence. And I'm like, did I just hear God's voice? And the first thing that jumped up, I didn't even think about it. The first thing that poured out of my spirit that was just set alive. As small and still in a baby state that it was in. The first thing that came out is, my God, if I can preach like that, I will turn the hearts of men back to You. If I can preach like that, deliverance will take place. If I can preach like that, it will stir up our holy hunger to get people to get into Your Word, to get people to go seek Your face, to get people to get into prayer. And He said, it's done. The next moment, prophet calls myself and my wife to the front, and he says exactly that which was in my heart. I mean, he didn't even know it. And it's the first time I'm meeting him, and he said that, listen, Martin, 3 years from now, you will preach from the pulpit with me, and you will preach with an anointing, and the Word of God will be locked up on the inside of you like holy fire, that when you preach, there will be deliverance, there will be an anointing, people will be set free, healing will take place, for I see the Word of the Lord on the inside of you like a double-edged sword that will come forth. Come on now. Church was not even an idea yet. 3 years to the date, we opened the first branch. I'm preaching with prophet from the pulpit. Prophecy came to pass. Are you guys with me? Question is, why do you want this? Is it for your glory or for the glory of God? You see, there is a connection between death and glory. I'm going to say that again. There is a connection between death and glory. The extent to which you crucify the nature of your flesh, to which you put to death that natural man, is the very thing that will determine how much of God I can host in my life. This means that if I do not die enough to myself, which is a daily process, I stand the chance to misrepresent Him to this generation. This is crucial because the body of Christ gets accused. How many people have not heard, I can't even go to anyone, you know, I'm not going to church anymore because the church have hurt me. It is a reality, it is a truth. Because we've got people dealing with the world where there's no sacrifice, there's no relationship, and their words does not come out of a place of relationship. Therefore, it's not backed up with, there's no substance. A cloud must be full of rain before it can release us anything. Do you carry substance? You built that in your inner room. You do not build that corporately. You built that by yourself, seeking God's face. Sacrifice. On your knees, worshiping. Seeking Him. Praying. Studying the Word. Just to have more of Him in your life. Are you guys with me? Listen, this generation that we live in is a generation that is at the mercy of our lives, that reveals and manifests all that God can be. What are you representing to that world? It will require the anointing. Are you guys with me? Amen. I think I've got 3 minutes, and that's only point one. We might continue with this. Let's see. Carrying the anointing will demand the commitment to serve others and to put the needs of others before your own. How many of you can say that you are doing that? I also used to work full-time. I know what it means to be on fire for God, yet be in a place where you work in a corporate environment. I know exactly what it means. But can you say, sitting in this morning, that it is in your heart, it is a heart's attitude. You guys with me? When I put the needs of others before myself. You know, the Bible says this in the book of Joel, and it says in chapter 3, verse 14, and it says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. It speaks of a place where many, even believers, find themselves in a place of confusion. It is the valley of confusion, where many do not know whether they should go forward, left, right, or even go, maybe I should go back to Egypt. Come on. It is a place of confusion, where many believers even find themselves within this place, meaning that it's in that place where I myself need prayer. Listen, where I myself am going through certain things. I'm facing some difficult circumstances. It feels like all hell is breaking loose against me. Man, I need prayer. Yet I'm putting myself to one side to minister to someone else. Yet I'm putting myself to one side to look after the needs of someone else. It is in that moment where you will find that the very thing that you are looking for will come upon your life just because of sacrifice. Are you guys with me? For example, if it is healing that you are looking for, the moment that you ignore your own feelings and everything that you are going through and your own sickness, but you pray for someone that needs healing, forgetting about yourself, you will find that you will pray for that individual. The anointing will flow. They will receive healing. You will be so stirred up. There's an excitement. There is a hope. There is a kingdom encouragement that will come and rest upon you. You will forget about your own sickness. You will think a week later, hang on, I've been sick. But now it's gone. Sacrifice everything that you want. You'll find that thing come upon your life. Amen. Leaders who are concerned about their own goals, desires, and objectives cannot attain a position of becoming anointed. Godly leaders must be willing to sacrifice their own personal desires and objectives to help others. Are you guys with me? Amen. So much that I want to get into. Put on the screen for me 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll close over this. Here we find the Apostle Paul speaking about the price that he had to pay. Listen, if I had to take any character in the Bible, I would say this man was one of the most profound characters. Are you guys with me? And he's explaining his price that he had to pay for the anointing. And he says, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4. New King James. And it says, but in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God. Now you've remembered, I've touched on that ministers, what it means. It means to be a slave, a servant. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God. In much patience, say patience. In tribulations. Say in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, verse 5, in stripes, in imprisonments, God forbid that one, but okay, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, verse 6, by purity, by knowledge, say by knowledge, say by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love. We must contend for greater dimensions so that we can host more of Him in our lives. Are you guys with me? Listen, all of God must be able to find expression through you so that lasting change can take place. Can you tell me in this morning that you are in a position where all of God can take manifestation in and through your life? Very important question to ask. When you are dead to your own desires and needs, and when you are governed by the Spirit, that is where you will see signs, miracles, healings, and wonders will take place fast. It will be instantaneous. You will not have to work at it. Listen, here we have got a profound story in the Bible about Elisha, prophesied that said that, listen, you will have a son. By this time next year, you will have a son. The boy is born, only to die soon after. And the Bible records Elijah coming towards this woman. And she ran towards him. And he sees this woman that there's something wrong. And he tells his servant, go quickly, run before me and find out what's wrong. And he reaches the woman and she responds saying, all is well. She's prophesying something that is to take place. Her son is dead. Are you guys with me? Yet at that moment, she's prophesying herself blind to the circumstances around her. And she's saying that, listen, all is well. She's speaking into the future, something that is yet to take place. But by the moment the prophet came into her presence, a carnality took over. And she said, why is it that you prophesied a son? Why would you give me this only to suffer this heartache and pain right now? For my son has died. And he said that, listen, he sent his servant with his staff, with his rod. He said, go ahead. Go lay it upon the body. He did so, nothing happens. The boy is dead. Elisha comes on the scene. And the Bible says that he laid himself, stretched himself over the child. God of nothing. A second time, God of nothing. Only on the third time, when he got off, the child sneezed and came back to life. He had to work the miracle because of carnal mind of reasoning. Yet the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20 and 21, and Elisha died and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the coming of the land. And then it continues to say, and as they were burying a man, a dead man, that behold, they spied a band of men. And they took the dead body and they casted it into the grave, into the sepulchre of Elijah. And the Bible says that when the body touched Elijah's dead bone, that it revived. It was instantaneous and stood up upon his feet. Why? Because there was no carnal mind of reasoning. He didn't prophesy, he didn't pray, he didn't fast. The anointing was upon his life, and the moment that was still caught up in his bones, and the moment this dead body made contact with the dead bones, the miracle was instantaneous. I'm telling you, encounter, you're about to reach different heights, a different location in the spirit, where the anointing will be upon you. You will become anointed if you can learn to die to yourself. You will see miraculous, the miraculous giving birth to signs of wonders, and healings will take place like this without you even speaking a word.